Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
This whole Colin Kaepernick thing with the Betsy Ross flag on the Nike sneakers, that's starting to pick up a little bit of traction again after Mitch McConnell tweeted out a picture of the flag and put Happy 4th of July. Mr. Kaepernick thinks or believes that that flag represents a time when slavery was probably
at its peak.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I understand what he's saying. But first of all, I said it whenever we were here, Wednesday,
I think, yeah.
I said it, I don't know if I'm saying the right thing, but first of all, the American flag is the American flag. You know, if it's 13 stars, 50 stars, whatever it is, I'm going to respect it. That's number one. Maybe I'm talking out of line here, but I think Mr. Kaepernick gives people way too much credit. Do you think anybody's going to notice? Do you think that people... I bet you there are people out there listening right now who are saying, the flag had 13 stars at one time?
Right, sure.
You know what I'm saying? I think, unfortunately,
Tony, and again, I may be talking out of turn, but I think we live in a time where people look for trouble. I think people look for an opportunity to be offended. I think people look for an opportunity to attack other people. I think we live in a time where some of those times it's justified. No question. There are justified times where, you know, somebody has been wrongfully mistreated or a group has been mistreated, and I think it is absolutely 100% right that people speak up. However, I also think everything is open to interpretation. To me, whenever you see the flag, my first instinct, to be honest, is that it's when we had the first 13 colonies. That's what that flag was initially for, was the first 13 colonies.
Right.
And the fact that it was created during a time when there was slavery, and the fact that people have interpreted it, hey, I'm going to use it as, you know, like there are white supremacists who wave that flag around. That's messed up. They shouldn't do that, because the flag was not created to say, hey, we're in a slavery time. That was created to say, we've got 13 colonies. Look at our country. Look how amazing we've been. That's why the flag was made. The fact that it's been misrepresented and people are using it incorrectly, that again, that's how people interpret it. But I don't think you think a bunch of Nike executives sat around and thought, hey, let's sell a bunch of shoes that's going to offend people during this.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that even crossed their minds.
Of course it didn't cross their minds, because again, we live in a world where I do think, look, I actually do respect Colin Kaepernick. I think for the things he has done, I think he's taken a tremendous hit in the NFL wrongfully. I think, you know, do I agree with the kneeling? That's open to interpretation. But do I think he should have lost his career over it? No, I don't. But something like this, I just think you're nitpicking. You're looking for trouble. You're looking to open the conversation and for people to now... You know, like Mitch McConnell, I don't necessarily think he's stirring the pot. I'm not sitting there saying, hey, this was a good idea. But no, I think we live in a world where you're looking to get offended. You want to get hurt. I think people want to get hurt. I don't know why. We certainly have people who deservingly can speak up and have been hurt. But no, I don't think a bunch of Nike people sat around and thought, let's offend millions of people by putting this flag on the shoe.
And just,
I don't think
just
so.
As a sidebar, how much money did they lose now? On
millions,
on
I would have
millions.
They, you know, I mean, because those shoes were supposed to come out yesterday.
Right. Well, that's it now. That's been killed.
Absolutely.
You know? Unless you can find one on the black market, and you're probably going to pay thousands.
Well, that's just
that pair of sneakers.
But they had to all be created. You know, those were all made, and they've been distributed already. So now they've been pulled from shelves. So I'm thinking they had to have lost easily thousands, if not millions.
I'm just saying that I just don't think that most people, they're not looking at that flag and thinking the way Mr. Kaepernick is thinking. I just don't think they are. And like I said, how many people that are listening right now, and be honest, there are going to be some people out there that are going to say, well, wait, 13 stars? Wait a minute. I thought there should be 50 stars.
Right.
You know, it's, come on. I don't know. It's a little off. But, hey.
I mean, you know. I do, like I said, I think the reason I think it became a bigger thing is honestly because white supremacists have used that flag in recent years. So I do understand that it has been, but again, the flag was not made to say, hey, we support slavery, we made this flag. No, that flag was made because we established 13 colonies. It was a time where America was proud of the fact that we established 13 colonies. That's what the 13 stars are on there for. The fact that it was during a time where slavery was happening is unfortunate, and it's awful, and it's horrible that it brings back that time, but that is not why that flag was made. It was not made for that.
It's 9:30. Do you know what time it is? It's time for the Coffee Break Chat on WICC.
All right, and for today, we have Sergeant Robert Derry, who's joining us now, a state trooper right here in Connecticut. Good morning, Sergeant. How are you?
Good morning. How's your 4th of July going?
Well, I mean, it's going really well. I'm surprised with how much energy you have, only because I would think you guys are working really hard the last couple of days. We were out at Penfield Beach on Wednesday for the fireworks, and my gosh, there are local state cops everywhere. So I would think you guys are just crazy busy, but I'm impressed with you. So much energy this morning.
Oh, that's what you do. You've been doing this for a long time. You get used to it.
All right, fair enough. Well, I mean, the big question is, how did we do on a scale of 1 to 10 with a grade point average, whatever you want to say it, how did Connecticut do with 4th of July?
Well, I can say right now, due to the fact, and knock on wood, we haven't had any fatalities with regards to motor vehicle collisions over the weekend at this point, and we obviously our goal is to maintain that. So as of right now, I think we're doing an A because of that. So, however, there has been about 150 accidents statewide that the state police have investigated, but only 16 of those really had any injury involved, which was somewhat minor. So we're doing okay for the amount of traffic that has been kind of thrown at us for this holiday weekend, which really kicked off for us July 3rd in the afternoon. That's when we really saw an uptick in the traffic backing up along I-95 and I-91.
All right, fair enough. And I know Tony always has a question about, should we be getting on the air telling people to not drink and drive? Should we tell people not to get distracted because maybe we sound like broken records? I don't know. What do you think, Tone?
I think we sound like broken records, but I think it's got to be done.
Absolutely. It's the same thing every holiday season. It's not even a holiday season. It's the, you know, every day we ask people to do that and to you know, no drinking and driving, put the phones down while you're driving. One of the biggest things we've kind of been talking about as of lately is the move over law. We had a big press conference down in Fairfield a few days ago. And really, the move over law, especially along I-95 in the Fairfield County area, if you see a police officer, a state trooper, a tow truck, fire truck, whatever it is along the right shoulder, DOT truck, you have to move over one lane if it's safe to do so. We just had a trooper, I'm sure you guys heard about it, about 3 weeks ago in Fairfield, got hit and got some pretty serious injuries as a result of that. And that was as a violation of one of the violations was the move over law.
Well, you know, Sarge, I agree with you. I think everybody should do that, and I agree. But sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes you're on the throughway, you see what's coming up, and you put on your signal, and these people sometimes won't let you move over.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. So part of the stipulation of the move over law is that if you're in that right lane and there's some sort of emergency vehicle off to the right shoulder, and there's a vehicle in that center lane which prohibits you from moving over to the center lane, then what you're supposed to do is slow down a little bit and just kind of guide a little bit to the left within your lane. But the problem that we see is the people that are in that right lane, they have a very clear picture of us sitting on the right shoulder with whatever we're dealing with. And that center lane, and sometimes that left lane is wide open, but these people just go right by that right lane, and it's the law's out there for a reason. It's out there to make everybody safe, all first responders. And we have the majority of our accidents where troopers get hit out there as a result of somebody rear-ending them. And even with all of our state-of-the-art lighting, emergency lighting on our vehicles, we still get hit. It's still a dangerous, crazy place out there.
And I think that, you know, I was reading just before there was a survey. A lot of us, I don't know what the number is, but a lot of us, when we're driving, we zone out. We just completely are thinking of something else or not paying attention to what we're doing. We actually zone out.
Yeah, and that happens quite a bit. And I'm sure everybody can kind of relate to this. When you're driving from point A to point B and your mind's running around with all of life's distractions, the things you got going on in your world, that you're going to say to yourself, geez, how did I get here? I can't remember this ride.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
Almost everyone.
And that happens. Yeah, right. You and me both. But we just try to, our number one goal is for everybody to enjoy themselves and to be safe while doing it. And, you know, we're not here to ruin anybody's good time. However, we all know, we've all seen it, there's drivers out there that get a little too aggressive. We obviously have people that still drink and drive because we are still constantly making those arrests. And we just on a side note, we do have a pretty significant amount of extra troopers out there to really combat drinking and driving over this holiday weekend through through Sunday. So we have federal grants that support that. And so I know just in Troop G in the Fairfield County area on our highways, we have quite a few troopers out there working on that. So, you know, our troopers are working hard. We are short-staffed, but our troopers, you know, we don't get a lot of days off right now, but it is what we, you know, it's a job that we have to do. It's what we signed up for. And, you know, even with all this extra shifts that we have to do, we still enjoy coming in and doing our job.
Sergeant Robert Derry, who is with, of course, the state police this morning and talking about the 4th of July holiday, starting with the 3rd, when we saw there was going to be millions of people on the road. Sergeant, I have a question for you. So right in the beginning of this, you said, you know, you're giving us an A, which, first of all, I love A's. A's are great. But do you think we're right on par for how we have done in the past? Are we looking better? And if we are looking better than how we've done, why do you think Connecticut's doing so much better this year than we've seen in past years?
Well, I say it, A, only by the mere fact that there has not been any fatality motor vehicle accidents. You know, if you really want to look at it, I think an A would be no accidents at all, but we know that's not going to happen. You know, there's just too many cars. And I got to be honest, the majority of accidents we see are relatively minor. They're people bump into each other in slow-moving traffic and things like that. So that's why out of the 150 or so accidents that we have investigated statewide with the state police, only 16 of those have been reported with any significant, with any injury at all. An injury could be just a complaint of pain or, you know, something minor like that. So, you know, I think we're doing our best to get the word out there. We do the same thing every holiday season, every year, you know, with your with folks like yourself, as well as the TV media. And I deal with them all the time. And, you know, people have to take what we're saying seriously. So whether some people are, some people aren't, I don't know, but you know, we're doing okay. We still have the people out there that want to test the envelope and drive a little crazy. And, you know, that's what we're there for. And we just, our department has authorized us to put out some vehicles that are a little more nondescript. We have a few Ford SUVs that people aren't going to know or even stay troopers until they turn the lights on. So, you know, we're using tools at our disposal to do our best. And, you know, hopefully people know that we're out there, you know, trying to keep everybody safe.
What do you know, you're saying that people push the envelope. What's the age group that you would say that really push the envelope? I mean, is it the young people, or is it do older folks still do not obey the rules of the road? Because I know as I got older, I became a little bit more cautious.
Yeah, and you and me both. I've been in Connecticut law enforcement for 29 years now, and I feel the same way. And but it's tough because it's hard to put a demographic on that because, you know, we do get quite a few younger drivers, obviously, that feel a little bit more invincible than somebody like you and I might feel. But I will say my experience, I've had people that are around my age still driving recklessly. And, you know, it's tough to really narrow that down. So I don't want to go out there and give misinformation, but it's really across the board. But I think a lot of us will probably come to the common sense conclusion that a lot of it is younger drivers for that feeling of invincibility that they may have.
All right. Well, we appreciate hearing from you, Sergeant Derry, this morning, our state trooper. We always appreciate hearing from you. And hopefully this weekend isn't too crazy and we keep all those numbers down. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
No problem. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Some sad news this morning. I'm reading in the Connecticut Post, actually, that the long-running publication Mad Magazine will be leaving newsstands this fall. And this is for real. This is no joke. The Illustrated Humor Magazine will still be available in comic shops and through mail to subscribers, but after its fall issue, it will just reprint previously published material. The only new material will come in special editions at the end of the year. Now, apparently, nobody's buying the magazine. At its zenith in the 70s, they were moving like 2.5 million magazines, and now it's down to a paltry 140,000 units that they move, and that is not cool. Weird Al Yankovic, a big fan of the magazine, said he's profoundly sad to hear that after 67 years, Mad Magazine is ceasing publication. I tell you, when I was a kid, in the 70s, there, early 70s, every month when Mad Magazine came out or whatever it was, every couple of months, we always went down to the newsstand and picked up a copy. We always did. We always thought it was very, very funny. It was corny. It was juvenile. Me and my friends, we always enjoyed Mad Magazine. And then after a while, I guess, you know, you get into other things and things move along, and we just didn't bother with it anymore. And I got to tell you, I haven't read the magazine in years. Got to be 30 years, you know.
It's sad when you hear about this happening, though, because you have these longtime staples. And I know we went through this in Vermont a year or two ago. There was a magazine there, which I'm sure a lot of people are not familiar with because it's in Vermont. But it was a magazine that had been around for, oh my gosh, decades, Tony. And it was known for just taking the most unbelievable photographs all around Vermont. And it got to a point where nobody wanted to buy it. Nobody wanted to invest in this company. And it just started to lose shares more and more. Mm-hmm. People just weren't buying it. And it was something, like you said, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, everyone was picking up a copy of this magazine. But then it got to a point where it just sort of dropped off. And even though it had a great reputation, it just, again, didn't have the funds for anybody to keep it going. And it's just sad. It's just sad to see these longtime publications go away. I don't know. That to me is heartbreaking. I don't like hearing that.
Well, it's like the newspaper. You know, every day I pick up the Daily News, I pick up the New York Post, but I'm in the minority. I actually sit down and read a hard copy of the Daily News. Mm-hmm. Nobody does that anymore. They read it off of the computer. They read it off the internet, whatever you young people call it these days. This is the route that America is going. But I'm very sad that Mad Magazine is going away. It was just comforting to know that it was there if you wanted it.
Exactly. You know? Well, and that is, I think, you know, so I'm sort of old school myself. My dad actually has read the paper since before I was born, and I picked up on his habits. So a lot of the times when I actually get my publications, even for this, you know, for my morning newscasts, it's because I'm reading the paper. And every time, there's not a day that goes by that I read the paper and I think to myself, gosh, I really hope this never goes away. What would I do without reading the paper? And I guess, yeah, you could go online and get quick headlines or go to Twitter or go to social media. But to me, it's the same idea as having, I never understood Nooks. I love the feeling of holding a book in my hand. I don't want to read it off of a screen. I don't want to have the comfort of having a little tablet thing. I want to hold a book. I want to hold a newspaper in my hand. I want to read the news from there. And who knows when that's going to go away. It's always sad to see the tides change. Especially when you're more old school and you enjoy things like the magazine. I don't know.
I know what you mean.
It's time to take a look back. It's Today in History with Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Now, 1975, Arthur Ashe becomes the very first African-American to win the Wimbledon Men's Singles Championship, beating a legendary Jimmy Connors. That was huge. I remember that about 40-something years ago. That was big, big stuff back then. Yes, sirree, quite an athlete. 1996, the first cloning of an animal by scientists was revealed by the Roslin Institute in Scotland when Dolly the sheep was cloned from tissue taken from a 6-year-old ewe's udder. That's 20-something years ago. That seems like it just happened yesterday.
Yeah, I feel like I remember that. But yeah, that was wild. I remember Dolly.
And the big thing for me anyway, 1955, following Rock Around the Clock being featured in the opening credits of the film Blackboard Jungle, the record becomes number one on the American Billboard music charts, becoming the first rock and roll record to hit the top of the American record charts, where it stayed for 8 weeks. It quickly then became the number one song on many other music charts around the world, and its success provided the springboard for the growth in rock and roll music over the next 10 years. Guys like Jimmy Swaggart, Rex Humbard, and Billy Graham, they thought that it was the music of the devil, but it's not going away anytime soon. But you got to remember, you know, 1955, you turn on the radio, you would hear Bing Crosby, you would hear Doris Day, you would hear Perry Como, you would hear Frank Sinatra, and then in the middle of all of that, this would suddenly appear.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
you know, many people clutching their hearts and falling to their knees
right.
when they heard that stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
Now, of course, it's very, very tame as compared to some of the other stuff that's been released over the years. So.
I know, bring this stuff back to the number one charts. I would much prefer that.
Well, actually, Rock Around the Clock, it came around again a couple of times because when it was featured in Blackboard Jungle, it was a number one hit. It became a big hit once again when American Graffiti was released. It hit the charts again. And then, of course, for many years, the TV show Happy Days, they used that as the opening theme.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been around, always will be around, that's for sure. Rock and roll isn't going anywhere, Melissa.
No, I know. Well, I love that, but I just mean like the top charts right now whenever you see, you know, I don't know, some of these other artists. I'm not going to drop names. Ariana Grande.
Yes.
I just think to myself, come on, let's bring the good stuff back. Please, let's get this other
Ariana Grande,
stuff off.
I'm getting that feeling from watching Jimmy or Joey Chestnuts eating his hot dogs. Ugh. We got a Friday morning going on here, and every Friday at this time, you go green. You want to help us save the planet. You want to help us save some money. What do we do, Bill?
Well, what have we been doing during the holiday a lot of?
Baking? I don't know. What are we doing?
Driving.
I said eating?
Yeah.
Oh, driving.
Driving, right? Traveling.
Right.
A lot of big travel weekend, and people are still traveling, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm sure people are going to be using the holiday to go other places. And when you're driving, I wanted to give you some tips. This is where you can make the planet safer, improve the air quality, and the green part in your wallet, in your bank account, will be higher as well. Three tips for you to do. They're very, very easy. And believe it or not, they almost cost no money. Slow down. Basically, driving 10 miles per hour above 60 is likely adding nearly 50 cents to a price of a gallon of gas, since higher speeds equal more guzzling of the fuel. About number two, getting pumped up once a month. All you have to do is check the air pressure in each of your tires against the guidelines listed on your car's manual. Add air if needed, and take out air if you have too much. Doing this can improve mileage up to 3%. And the last thing, we're talking about air out of your car. We're talking about air filters. Replace the filters regularly. A new oxygen sensor, for example, in our cars, that alone can improve mileage as much as 15%.
Whoa.
When those sensors go down, I know. And in my car, all the lights go on the dash, and you think that, oh my God,
it's Christmas.
The car's going to stall out. And I'm going to be stuck on the side of the road, and
it comes
to find out it was a couple of sensors that they had
replaced. Looks like your car's just going to like explode, and you just want to get out of it. It's all these lights. It's like, oh my God, I'm panicking.
Yeah, and boy, is it expensive to replace. Oofa.
Well, it is, and I think that if you catch it early enough, and I mean, you are, again, 15%. If you do a lot of traveling, I mean, if you're only going a few miles a day and you're not using your car a lot, I wouldn't worry about the sensor part of it. But, you know, certainly checking the air tire pressure and also slowing down both definitely will save on your fuel consumption, and we know how the gas prices don't seem to want to go down very much. But the air filters and the air sensors, the oxygen sensors, those two things can actually improve your mileage. And the air filter, Tony and Melissa, that's not very expensive to do at all. And actually, most of us can figure out how to do that ourselves. You're just taking the old one out, putting the new one in, and you really can, with enough time, figure out how to do it without messing up your car. But the sensor, well, yeah, you have to have mechanics. I guess they're still called mechanics.
Yes.
Are they technical engineers of automobiles?
I think they're still mechanics. Yeah. The tire pressure is what throws me, because I only check my tires really in the winter time because you know that they fluctuate so quickly. But once I get into the spring, summer, I don't really check them that often, if I'm being honest. I don't know. Do you guys check them that often?
I never check my tires.
Yeah.
I think my mechanic, you know, when I get my oil changed, and because I drive enough so that I get it done often, I'm trusting they're doing it. They say they do it.
Yeah, that's when I get it done. But you had to make me laugh when you said, oh, change the filters by yourself. Have you met me, Bill?
Well, yes, I have met you. Thinking, you know, you'd have the sweatpants look and you'd be ready to go. Oh, and then after that, I think it's just...
Oh, I like that look.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I've got the sweatpants look.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's relaxing, right? You have that. It's easy going. You're at home. I'm going to do stuff myself.
Yeah. All right, Bill, thank you very, very much. Very interesting.
Welcome.
Thank you so very much. Today, of course, is July the 5th. And today is National Graham Cracker Day. Now, I know you call your grandmother Graham Cracker.
Yes.
So this is actually technically her day, but I think they're talking about the actual cracker.
Yeah. That's a technicality. It's fine.
Yeah, so there you go. So, Graham Cracker, if you're listening, happy Graham Cracker Day. but as far as I'm concerned, that's one of my favorite crackers of all time. There's nothing like a Graham Cracker with globs of peanut butter on it.
Ooh.
Or Graham Crackers in the ever-famous icebox cake.
Okay.
Which I don't get enough of around my house.
Sure.
You know?
But, I mean, we had the graham crackers with the s'mores this weekend. Did you have any s'mores for 4th of July?
I've never done s'mores.
Really?
Honest to God, I've never done it.
Tony, I'm going to hook you up. I love s'mores. I really do, and I make a mean s'more. In fact, actually, if I'm being honest, my younger sister, Amy Jo, her boyfriend, Jackson, he prides himself on his s'more making, and he is good. He is real good. We took them on vacation with us in June when I was off that week, and he made us all s'mores. We made bonfires in the sand on the beach. He made all of us s'mores, and it was probably the best s'more I've ever had in my life. So I'm going to have Jackson make you a s'more, and it's going to rock your world.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I've never had a s'more. So there you go. So it's National Graham Cracker Day. Graham Cracker, if you're listening, we salute you this morning. A couple of other things that are going on. 20% of parents say that they take their children outside daily. Do you take your son out
every
daily?
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you do when you go outside, even if it's just sitting in a chair and he's sleeping in the buggy?
So we have our dog, Trusty, so he loves to watch Trusty in the yard. So we sit on the back porch and we'll watch him. Now that it's nice out, he's in the swing. We just filled up his little pool yesterday, so he'll play in that because the water's a little cold from the hose. So we find any reason to be outside. Any reason. Well, I always grew up outside. Yeah. My mom and dad always had us outside.
Mm-hmm.
Half the reason was you don't want the energy of 5 kids in the house, but a lot of it was because, you know, it's healthier to be outside. We never really watched TV.
You know, in the summertime, my dad used to get so mad, mad, because it would be summer vacation. My mother would be working. We were like maybe 12, 13, 14, just old enough to be on your own
during
the course of the day. And my dad had this, he had a job where he'd work like 4 hours in the morning, and then he'd have a couple of hours off, and then he'd work another 4 hours in the afternoon.
Okay.
And he would come home in the middle of the day, just, you know, for lunch or whatever it is. And we always tried to, like, you know, keep an eye out. We'd be looking, but still, you want to watch Popeye the Sailor Man or whatever you were watching. Keep an eye out, you know. And a couple of times he caught us. He would open up the door and all hell would break loose because it would be like a day like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we'd be inside watching cartoons.
And that didn't sit well with
him. You know,
it
was like, you know, and he'd be like, you know, get up, guys. Hey, what are you doing? Get outside. Cut the lawn. Do this, do that. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because even with Chase right now, so my husband also grew up always outside. He never really watched TV, and we still really don't now. But a lot of Chase's friends, like, we take him to a little gym class, and I have other friends who are having kids, and they will refer to Chase, who I guess is a character in, God, I don't even know the name of the show. It's some kind of a cartoon show, and one of the main characters, it's like Puppy Patrol or Paw Patrol or something. I've never even seen it. And they're like, what does Chase watch? And I just go blank because I'm like, well, maybe he watches Mickey Mouse Clubhouse a little bit because he likes the music, but he doesn't even watch that. He's always up against our back window watching Trusty outside, and he wants to be outside. We really don't watch TV.
Well,
I don't know.
That's good. 67 of online voters say that they wear flip-flops in the summer. I've been working with Melissa now for a few weeks. I've never seen, do you have flip-flops on right now?
Right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right, because it's either flip-flops or it's slippers. Actual slippers.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her the first day, I says, you drive your car with the slippers on? Oh, yeah, no problem. See, I can't do that. I can't wear flip-flops.
Really?
Ugh.
I lived in Vermont for 10 years, so if you walked outside it was either boots or slippers. So
really?
I became very, working at 2 in the morning, you know, you don't, it's hard to get out of bed, Tony. I mean, you know, it's very hard to get out of bed in general. So at least have some comfort on your feet. So, yeah, I my slippers are under my desk, actually. You could see them through the window. I have those, too, but it's a little warm today.
It's hard for me to get out of the chair, never mind. And finally, 40% of pet owners say they let their dog or their cat sleep with them. Does your dog sleep with you?
So Trusty does not sleep with us in our bed because he is one of those where, actually, he's very good. He won't move, but he takes up too much space. He's a big dog. He's like 65 pounds. So he sleeps on the couch. That's his domain. But when we take naps, Chase, Trusty, and I will get into mine and Derek's bed because it's a king-size bed and there's plenty of room. But once, you know, Derek's there, forget it.
When we had Jeter, he most of the time he would sleep with our son. He would get in bed and he'd take up the whole bed. He was only a little cat, but he would take up the bed.
Isn't
the whole
amazing?
Bed. It's amazing. But the couple of times that he got on the bed with us, he would, for example, like you'd be sleeping and he would lean right against you. And then you would just like try to move over a little bit so he wasn't. Then when you would move over a little bit, he would move and lean right against you.
He's cuddling with you, yeah, and you were denying him.
Yeah, it was. And then finally you just said, oh, the heck with it, do what you want to do, you know. But it was, you know, it's funny how they think. So
yeah,
so
there at least he didn't sleep on your face. My brother's cat is banned from sleeping with him because the cat sleeps on his wife's face. And my sister-in-law is pregnant. She's due in October, and she's like, between not being able to sleep correctly and the cat on my face, it's a no-go, Simba. You're out. So poor Simba, he's been kicked out of the bedroom.
Oh, poor Simba.